God is good. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? It's a wonderful thing to be saved. I think it's fun being a Christian, being saved. Knowing you're going to heaven, you've got that knowledge, you've got that peace, or you should have. Some folks fight it. Some folks want to get down, even though they know they're going to heaven. The Lord said, told the disciples, rejoice, rather, because your names are written down in heaven. So we've got a lot to be happy about. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about trusting God for everything and yielding to Him. By nature, we are control freaks. We want to have control. We do not want to give control. We do not want anybody telling us what to do. I never did, Brother Spurgeon. I still don't like anybody telling me what to do. Especially somebody I can whip. Do you know where I'm coming from? Yeah. Oh, exactly. No. We're going to read some scripture and then we're going to try to help you with it this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, a passage of scripture you're familiar with, Matthew 6:24. And I'll just stay in this mic this morning, David. I usually use that hand mic. The Lord said, no man can serve two masters. 6:24, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, material things. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for your tender mercies toward us, Lord. Thank you for pulling the church back together, Lord. So many have been out from the COVID, Lord, and we've still got quite a few out, Lord, but we're starting to replenish, Lord, and we give you glory for that, Lord. And I thank you for your grace with the services. They've been good. I thank you for Brother Jeremiah Gabber doing a wonderful job with the preaching and teaching and the school. Pray for Brother Phil Gabbard, been doing Sunday school and just so knowledgeable on the book and doing his best to impart that knowledge of God to folks, Lord. Help us to understand your word and to lean on it and to trust it, believe it, and apply it, Lord, to our hearts first and then to our lives, Lord, and we'll thank you for all you're going to do in the next few days with Brother Spurgeon. Thank you for him and his testimony. What a testimony, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord, for what you've done with him. Help me as I bring the word this morning, Father, and we'll give you praise and glory for all you're going to do here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, from these passages that kind of go with the passage where that our God is a God of more than enough. God will take care of you if you'll let him. And the problem is for most of us, I think probably most of us, is we'll read passages like this and we just don't believe it. We don't believe that God is going to take care of us. I don't know if we just doubt that he can. We surely think that he can. We just sometimes get it in our head that he won't. And the greatest difficulty we have as Christians is to, by simple faith, just believe God. Many believe in God without believing God. He says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, whereby these we might be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God offers us many precious, they're called precious promises. Yet stepping out on faith on those promises seems like we pick and choose which ones that we're going to believe. And the Bible talks about Israel, said they limited the Holy One of Israel. And we as Christians, I think by our own actions, by our own endeavor, limit our Lord and our Savior. We don't call on him like we should call on him. And the Bible says, in Numbers 23:19, said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Wow. Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? See, God is incapable of lying. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. And that's because he is holy. He cannot deny himself. He can't get past his own holiness. He has to tell the truth. That's one of the things that I anchor to on my salvation. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And God can't lie. He has to do what he says he'll do because of his own holiness. There's a verse that says, God is faithful and cannot deny himself. Don't say he will not, says he cannot. And that points to his holiness. God acts within his character, within his holy character. And if he tells you something, you can take it to the bank. And we live in a world where it's very hard to get truth. Truth has fallen in the streets. We see it through all the craziness of the last few years, the craziness of the political environment, the craziness of the national media pushing things that just aren't true. And we were explaining to someone the other day that Satan is not omniscient, that word that means everywhere all the time, at the same time. Our Lord is omniscient. He's everywhere all the time. What David said, where shall I hide from thy spirit? If you can't. The Lord is always present. But the devil isn't. So the devil works collectively through national media. He works through the entertainment industry. Through Hollywood. He's big in music. Big with the Hollywood crowd. He's big with, now big with the national media. He will drive an agenda to pull people away from Jesus Christ and from serving God. Now, once you get saved, the devil wants to keep you from being anything for God. He can't get your soul. He knows that once you've trusted Christ. But he can sure get your character, and he can get your reputation and get your witness and your testimony. He can take from you all those things that God wants to use you for. And he'll do that if you will let him. And he wants to put doubt in your mind. Oh, ye shall not surely die. Isn't that what he told you? Ye shall not surely die. Man, it's not that bad. That Cree man, look at that. Man, I bet that's good to eat. And I heard that if you eat that fruit, you'll be just like God. You'll be as smart as he is. That's how the devil works. To put doubt in your mind about the promises and the things of God. But God can't lie to you today. And the problem, if you're having problems believing God, the problem is not with God. God is always faithful. The problem has always been with man. Man is capable of doubt. And I understand that faith is going to always be mixed with a little doubt. You say, well, where do you get that, preacher? Well, let me give you an example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They took the king, set up that idol for them to worship there in the plain of Dura. And they said, we're not going to worship it. He said, our God will deliver us. But if you look in that passage, the very next verse, I mean, our God will deliver us. That's faith, right? The very next verse it says, but if not, I mean, our God will deliver us, we hope, we think. But they stepped out on the measure of faith that they had. God delivered them. But the flesh is capable of anything. Paul said, we are those that have no confidence in the flesh. Don't think that your flesh can't doubt. Your flesh is capable of anything. So, our failure to step out by faith and just believe God, it causes us a lot of grief. We could be spared a lot of that if we ran things by our Lord and allowed God to be God. We want to be the God of our own lives. We want to be in control of our destiny. We want to be in control of what we do. And many times we'll just say, well, hey, God, I've got this. What the disciple to, you know, the Lord back in the back of the ship, what if they just said, well, Lord, just sleep a little while. I think we've got this. No, they knew better. But from the natural standpoint, we're going to doubt sometime. But God wants to assure you that his promises are sure. You can trust God. You can believe God. Years ago, my niece's husband was diagnosed with a serious throat cancer. And from the natural standpoint, it looked bad. He was not given a lot of hope. And his wife, Laura, told me that she was just crazy with worry. She didn't know what to do. And then she told me that she read Mark 5:36. And that verse reads like this. It says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. It's hard to get there. Easy to fear, but it's tougher to step out by faith and believe. And she made that her verse. She stepped out by faith, believed that God was going to do what she was praying for him to do, and even though the doctor said it was bad, and from the perspective of the natural man, they were right. But God healed him. And she believed God. Disciples in the ship, I talked about that a little bit ago. There arose, that's in Mark 4:37, said, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, when you get that in your head, that God don't care, you need to get back in the book. You need to get back on your knees because God cares. If you ever doubt his care, look to Calvary. My. But the disciples here, these weren't just tourists riding on the ship. These were old Navy men, old salts. And they knew that they were in trouble. They recognized this storm. Commercial fishermen. And the Bible says that the waves beat into the ship and that it was full. Now, let me say this. We believe God for salvation. Yeah, I know I'm saved. I believe God. When he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We believe that. We believe John 5:24, verily, verily, I send you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. We believe that. We believe God for all those things that we have no control over. But for many Christians, when it comes to everything but the impossible, we don't trust in God for it. Only in case of emergency. Only for those things that we absolutely know that we have no control of. But instead of relying on God, we tell God in so many words that we've got this. We've got this, Lord. Hey, Lord, you can go back to sleep. We'll wake you up if we need you. And I think we've all been there from time to time. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:6, in all, don't say in some of your ways, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It says all your ways. We don't do that. One of my very favorite verses in Scripture is where David cried unto God over in Psalms 57:2. He said, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. David said that God performed all things for him, not just some of the things. Have you ever had that in your head or in your heart, that God's going to do everything for you? Especially those things that strengthen you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hey, I lose my car keys, I call on God to help me find my keys. I do. A fellow said, well, I just don't want to bother God with all that little stuff. Why not? He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. One thing that I think many times we fail to understand is that God gets glory whenever we depend on him rather than ourselves. It brings him glory that we're depending on him. Hey, that guy lost his keys. Well, I trust him for the little things. Without him, I'd probably be in the woods today lost because I lose everything. So I need God to help me find those things. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Does that mean a sum of the steps? Or does that mean what it says, all of the steps? I remember years ago, one time Joyce lost her wedding ring. I went to God with him. God, help us find that. He did. He'll help you in every part of your life. The more you call on him, the closer you'll get to him, the more you'll depend on him, and the more that you'll trust him when you prove him. over in Malachi, the context is giving, but it applies to every area of our Christian walk. He says, prove me herewith and see. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I believe all that. Prove me herewith, the Lord says, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing there's not room enough to receive. I've dealt with folks that told me that it's very difficult for them to tithe. They say, I just can't see how I can afford to do it. And I'll use that verse. Said, well, the Lord said to try them out. Experiment. I tell them, experiment with God a little bit. Try them out and see how it works out. You start giving what you think God wants you to give or what God says to, and see how it works out. He says, prove me herewith and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive. But we are so self-reliant. That's why there's so many works denominations working their way to heaven today, because they think that I've got this. I can be good enough to get to heaven. I can do it my way, and I'm sure God will respect it. That's what Cain thought. Cain worked hard, boy, worked hard, and brought that all this fruit stand business before the Lord, and the Lord didn't have respect to it. And you know what? Cain got mad. He got mad. He was wroth over that. The God didn't accept his works. While Abel, he just brought a bloody little lamb, you know. Oh, smelly little lamb. Wow. Self-reliance and self-control. I'm not talking about keeping your body under subjection. I'm talking about where you have to control everything in your life. You will not allow God to control your life because you want to be in control. And I'm afraid that we are all guilty under this. We've mentioned before, you know, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I remember hearing a preacher say that he don't know of anyone that ever walked that walk without some problems, without some sin. One fellow mentioned that he thought maybe D.L. Moody came close, but probably not. We're a mess. That's why I'm totally dependent upon God's grace and upon His mercy. Do you allow God to control what programs you watch on TV? I just throw that little one in there. Just that one little thing. Do you allow God to control that? Oh, let me move on. So now you're meddling, preacher. Let me look here. So many trying to work their way to heaven. I've got this, God. Man, you won't find anybody more religious than me. There's no bluegrass song that says, if anyone makes it, surely I will. And that's the battle cry for a whole bunch of Christian denominations. Oh, if anybody's going to go, it's going to be us. We don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't run with them that do. We've got this, Lord. You're going to be proud of us. You're going to be impressed with us. So that Cain tried to impress God. Abel just wanted to please God. There's a difference. There's a difference. If you're the master of your own destiny, then obviously God can't be, because you refuse to let Him. It's all about me. No man can serve two masters, our text says, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Then the Lord lays out all those things that we try to handle ourselves, and we fret and we worry over and stress over, doubting that God is going to take care of us or that God can do what He promises that He can do. In our text, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? One cubit to his stature. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies. Lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take not no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the unsaved world he's talking about there. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He said, take no thought. He said, don't worry about it. He uses the example of those lilies. Boy, we see them, those lilies now that come up, and boy, that's God's sun lights up those lilies, and the earth brings forth the nutrients, and all that's supplied by God. All their need is supplied by God, and they just come up and grow and give God glory. Give God glory by their beauty. They're not worried about it. God has to give them the sunshine. He has to give the ground the nutrients to sustain that beautiful flower. He says, take no thought. He says, don't worry. Don't even think about these things. Yet we do. And that's because we are maintaining control where God wants to take control. He said, all that stuff the Gentiles worry about. He said, but you're a child of God. We shouldn't occupy our minds with all that fear and doubting that God's going to take care of us. Was it Bob Jones Sr. that said to work as if everything depends on you, but pray as if everything depends on God? Well, I believe that to a point, God gives you the ability to work. He wants you to work. Whatever you set your hand findeth to do, you do all for the glory of God. So we do that. You have a heavenly Father, and it says your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So Jeremiah said this, Jeremiah 10:23, he said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Yet we insist on directing our own steps. That's hard to get away from. You've got to fight that urge to handle it yourself and give it to God. Think about David, a man after God's own heart, saying, God who performeth all things for me. In our addictions, we use that verse along with where Paul said this. Over in Romans 7, he said, to will is present with me. Man, I want to do it. I want to do good. I want to do right. Boy, the will is there. To will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I think what he found out is that God did not give him his will to perform with. God did not give you your will to perform with. He gave you your will to submit with. Giving it to God. Not performing, but submitting. God, who performeth all things, not some things, performeth all things for me. All those things that we stress and worry about are and get burdened down with it. No, those things aren't hid from God. Luke 12:6, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. See, God knows all the intimate details of your innermost thoughts. Sometimes I refer to that as secret life. I think we all have a secret life, a life within a life that only we know about. But we see that God knows about that secret life of yours too. And He wants to take that will of yours and turn it in submission to the Spirit of God. Psalms 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a wonderful promise from God, and a thought in the day and the age that we live in. Some of us are so stressed out over the political environment, we just don't trust God. Hey, the Lord said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And they say that the day that you learn to just believe God, believe Him by simple faith, believe Him, and give all those worries and all those stresses to Him, that's the day your life will change. It'll change your life. Those burdens will leave your shoulders. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. It's not like we're trying to, how do I put this? We cast it on the Lord because He tells us to. He wants them. He wants to take that situation that you've got and work it out for you. This is my 21st year at this church, and we haven't had many problems, but the few that we have had, I don't run and try to fix it. I don't call a meeting and say, boys, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do about this. We need to do something. I've gotten on my knees before God and say, God, it's your church. I'm going to give this to you to fix. He does. He always has. Most of those things that seem so consequential and so important at the time, most of those things die a natural death, especially when we give them to God. Give them to God. Psalms 144:15 says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The Bible says to trust God. Believe Him. You believe Him in creation. You believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You believe Him for salvation. Why not just believe Him in all His promises and give it all to Him? I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. If we could just believe that, man, I look at that verse and look at that verse, and I don't feel guilty when I go to God with those little things, no matter how small, because I know that God is my Heavenly Father, and He loves me, and He wants to be there for me. And He is there, but we limit Him. The Lord told the children of Israel, said, how oft would I have gathered you together, as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings. But you would not. See, we refuse to do it. We refuse to let God be God. You need to let Him be your God. Not just an abstract figure or a spare tire in case of emergency, But let him be the God of everything you do. Let him control your steps, direct your steps, and he'll do it. And you'll be blessed because of it. And you will grow because of it. And you'll find peace if you do that. Because the Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. And that spiritual kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's where he wants you today. He don't want you to be stressed out. He wants you to believe him and trust in him in all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Thank you for your precious word, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. And we ask you to be with the worship service this morning and hold Brother Spurgeon up by the power of your might, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take a break.